Welcome to The New Advisor, the show where we explore emerging trends in business and meet with the rising stars within the business advice industry, leading the way and helping Australian businesses meet the challenges and opportunities that lay ahead. I'm your host, Jeff Daniel. The term allied health is loosely defined as comprising of those health-related disciplines that sit outside of the medical, dental, and nursing professions. Think physiotherapy, chiropractic, osteopathy, and podiatry to name but a few of the disciplines that make up this diverse and rapidly growing sector. There are close to 200,000 allied health practitioners in Australia, and many of them work in privately owned practices. So what's happening under the hood of these thousands of small practices? What are the challenges they face, and where are the opportunities for growth as we move into 2021 and beyond? To help us have a look at this sector, I'm joined today by Brad Regan, who is the Director of Practice Live, a leading advisory practice specialising in helping the owners of allied health practices to scale their businesses in a sustainable way. Brad's got many years of business advisory experience across a wide variety of industries, and we're really excited to have him with us to share his expertise. Hi, Brad, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
So many industries and businesses have endured a pretty tough 2020, as we all know. From your vantage point, how's the allied health industry fared overall?
Yeah, it's been a difficult time for the allied health industry, probably worldwide really, but particularly in my town of Melbourne, where stage four lockdown was introduced without much notice. So there was a period of between probably 6 and 12 weeks, depending on what type of practice, where all non-essential treatments weren't allowed. So it was pretty tough. It was only where a person's functional independence was compromised that they could see an allied health practitioner. Yeah. But the industry really did show a lot of ingenuity, if you like, by using things like telehealth to engage with its patients. One clinic even offered free online stretching and flexibility classes to keep that connection with their patients. And a physiotherapy group in Melbourne actually provided workstation assessments for people working from home, which was almost everyone. So it was really quite inspiring to see how many practices adapted really quickly.
Given the wide variety of disciplines in the allied health sector, do you see much difference in the way perhaps a physiotherapy practice might operate from a, from a business perspective to a, perhaps a podiatry practice?
Look, they're obviously all different in what they do as health professionals, what they treat and how they treat patients. I guess from a business perspective, the underlying principles are quite similar. So they all have objectives like attracting new patients, retention of old patients and new patients, probably more to the point, and also ensuring their team provide a consistently high level of clinical treatment.
What about multidisciplinary practices? Are they commonplace in the industry?
Yeah, they're becoming more common, certainly. And I find that once systems and processes are in place in a practice, you can really pull in a variety of disciplines under that umbrella without much difficulty. My first practice client ever was originally a podiatrist, but now has a speech therapy component, physiotherapy, and occupational therapy, which has really been pivotal to the practice's growth in the last 3 or so years.
So what do you see as being the biggest challenges facing a practice owner in this sector, and do they differ much from the challenges faced in other sectors, for instance?
Yeah, well, look, every business is unique. That's a fact. Probably goes without saying. But there are general challenges experienced by all kinds of businesses that are also experienced by allied health practices. So to me, these include things like, look, no real control over the business, the owner working too many hours, often 6 days a week, 60, 70 hours a week. Business stagnation. So the marketing's just not bringing in the inquiries it once did. Too many highs and lows, which makes the practice owner quite stressed. Pushback from staff when the owner tries to implement new ideas. So on top of those, there are, you know, many challenges unique to the sector that practice owners face. So things like lack of consistency in treatment. So the practice has, a group of professionals working in a haphazard way. Clinicians not treating patients the way the practice owner would like, ideally. Patient cancellations as patients sort of leak out of the business. No system to take charge of patient cases and making best practice recommendations every time. And this is all about patients not accepting their clinicians' recommendations, which leads to patients dropping off. So often the practice revenue might be growing, but the owner is often making less money than they did as an employed clinician, which is clearly a problem.
That's probably not what they were hoping to achieve.
No, that's definitely not what they were hoping to achieve. So a really common challenge for a practice owner is really just wearing too many hats.
Yes.
Which I'm sure you would have heard before, but trying to do the books, taking care of admin processes, recruiting and training clinicians, as well as developing their existing therapists and clinicians, marketing and advertising, even overseeing the booking process whilst trying to treat as many and see as many patients as they can. So, yeah, this wearing too many hats just makes the practice owner, I guess, frantically busy, which in turn makes growing their practice nearly impossible. When you're this busy, you just can't do anything to the best of your ability. And the fact that without any clear air to be able to think critically about their business, things eventually get worse. So probably the biggest contributor is the practice owner treating too many patients. So owners will invariably feel that, look, if my practice isn't making enough money, the natural thing to do is to see more patients and do more clinical hours myself, which just makes the problem bigger and things get further out of control. It may sort of seem a little bit counterintuitive, if you like, but in most cases, what the practice owner needs to do is see fewer patients and do less clinical hours. And in fact, in some cases, no clinical hours for a period of time while they assess, I guess, exactly what's going on in their practice. But I certainly understand this can be quite difficult for practice owners to accept, especially when they're stressed, which is understandable. Another really common challenge is, a lack of simple but waterproof systems and processes in the practice, including management systems for their therapists and the admin team as well. So if the practice owner can get this right, the business is no longer relying on them to the same level, which is clearly a significant step forward. So another challenge for health practices is keeping score. So it's crucial that the practice owner is, I guess, identifying and measuring the important numbers or KPIs in their business. So the old saying, if you can't measure things, you really can't expect to improve them. I even sometimes refer to KPAs, key performance activities. Yeah, I should also mention marketing, which can be quite a challenge for private health practices. And I guess this is because as health professionals, there's often a reluctance to devote much time or energy to marketing. And I think this is because they, generally speaking, feel that I'm a health professional. I shouldn't be spending too much time marketing my business. And that if my practice and my staff provide excellent service and the best clinical treatment possible, patients will come. Where I'm afraid it just doesn't work that way, particularly as the number of allied health practices in Australia increases every month. So competition is quite fierce and only growing. So practice owners really need to put in as much time into marketing as they do into other vital parts of their business, such as clinical care. And the marketing needs to be laser focused. So speaking directly to the person with the ailment. So I see a lot of marketing from allied health practices being quite general, informational based, but you've got to really, I guess, directly speak to the pain point literally. Otherwise, the message is going to get lost in the thousands of other messages we receive online all day, every day. So laser-focused marketing is a real key to practice success because it normally results in consistent flow of new inquiries.
And leading from that, I would imagine scaling from a single to multiple practices is something that many owners aspire to. As we know, scaling any business in a sustainable and profitable way is not a particularly easy thing to do. How do you approach that goal when working with a practice owner, Brad?
Yeah, you're right, Jeff. It's not easy, but in most cases, it is quite simple. So there is a difference between being simple but not easy. So firstly, when a practice owner wants to expand, I normally ask the question as to their reasons for wanting to scale to multiple practices. So if they're just stressed with their existing practice and, I guess, not making enough profit, so they want to open a new practice just to get more money in, then this will only lead to more chaos. On the other hand, when scaling is done right, it really is the pinnacle for practice owners. I mean, to have multiple practices producing high quality clinical results and making great income, whether the practice owner is there or not. So once I determine, I guess, the motivation, another thing that I do ask, and this might sound a bit strange, but when people ask them at a barbecue or a networking function what they do, what do they say? If the owner responds with, say I'm a dentist, or say I'm a physio or a psychologist or osteo, podiatrist, whatever it is they've been trained and educated in, I really strongly suggest they need to start thinking differently about what they are, which is really critical for the business success in the future. So if they don't consider themselves a practice owner or the CEO of a group of practices, then business ownership will always be a tough grind. So that's a really important mindset to adopt for the owner. So if the practice owner sort of is comfortable with this mindset and comfortable with their existing practice, which has some systems in place that makes the business operate well without them being there every single day, then scaling to multiple practices can be incredibly rewarding. So from there, you know, moving to a second, a third, a fourth practice comes down to setting up simple waterproof systems and processes. So in many cases, this is a lot about duplication of their original practice, which makes things easier. But most important in these systems and processes are good people management systems. So people, and I mean the staff inside the practice, are really the number one factor to a practice's success.
So when you start working with a new client, what are the things you look at first?
Well, I have a systemized program for helping the owner grow their practice, but it can start at different points, if that makes sense, depending on the individual situation of the practice. So it's really never a case of me coming in and saying, okay, you must do A, B, and C. So what we work on first depends on the individual practice and really also where the practice owner wants to take the business. So one of the first questions I do ask is there a step-by-step treatment model for your clinicians to follow in how they treat and make recommendations to patients? So if there's not, then this really needs to be developed, because if you don't know how your clinicians are treating your patients, there's just no consistency in treatment methods and no consistency in what's being recommended to patients and how. And the practice owner's reputation is at stake when that's the case. And also the result is that case acceptance levels can be pretty low. So the most successful practices I've seen are the ones that have a proven system of treatment that everyone follows, which leads to high levels of case acceptance by the patient and also high levels of repeat business. Case acceptance is the degree to which patients accept the diagnosis and the recommended treatment from the clinician. So rather than thinking that they know best and really not following the professional's advice, which tends to happen when they're not trained correctly. So the practitioner can end up becoming or being, I guess, led by the patients on what they think is best, normally based on the personality of the patient. And so generally speaking, without taking charge of the relationship, it's very difficult for the practitioner to give the patient the best possible outcome. So the patients just need to trust the clinician enough to take their advice and then, of course, return for repeat visits in most cases. So in my experience in working with practices, the most profitable businesses are the ones that provide the best clinical results. So these are not mutually exclusive, if you like. And this is essentially because there's a system of training and development which is regular, ongoing, and which leads to consistency in clinical treatments.
Okay, and what do you think the benefits a business owner in the allied health space can expect from working with an advisory firm such as yours, Brad?
Well, the benefits can be significant, and I'm probably a bit biased in saying that, but as long as the practice owner is prepared to change some of their beliefs, which can often be quite difficult, and I think we all like to think that what we believe is correct, me included. For example, I just mentioned setting up a model for how your therapists treat your patients so they're consistently getting the absolute best possible treatment. I've seen growth of more than 40% in a practice through stopping the leaks by installing a system for recommendations. So that's one very small example of the benefits of just doing that simple change. at the core, it's really having an outside perspective, because whilst all allied health practice owners really know their stuff, it's very difficult for them as business owners to know that what they're doing is right. So I have a saying with practice owners that I use sometimes, that you just can't watch your own backswing. It's one that really get the point across, that none of us really can know for sure what we're doing is correct all the time. So, but the benefits for the practice owner are things like moving from a clinician to a CEO, which means they can take control of their business. Some other benefits are consistent flow of new clients, greater client retention, so stopping that leaky bucket. You know, leading their team to run and even grow the business without them being there. And I guess the pinnacle, as I mentioned before, was scaling your business to multiple practices whilst working, in most cases, 4 days a week.
Sounds attractive. So how does targeted industry-specific advice differ from that provided by, say, an accountant or an advisor that operates across a broad mix of sectors?
Well, firstly, accountants are great in what they do, but they don't have any crossover in what we do with practices and helping them grow.
Mm-hmm.
So in my experience, the reasons why an allied health practice may be struggling is not to do with their accounting. And as far as, I guess, general business consultants or coaches are concerned, most of them are very good. I know a lot of general business coaches and consultants, but they just don't have the intimate understanding or knowledge of the unique challenges faced by allied health practice owners.
And I believe you have a particularly effective process you follow in guiding a business owner in the allied health space through to the achievement of their goals. Can you perhaps tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, it's been fine-tuned over the years, so I like to think it's quite effective. And it always starts with a business diagnostic, because, as I said, every single health practice is different. So this diagnostic gives us a good understanding of what the barriers to success are and then what the highest priorities are. So this normally gives us a really clear pathway. And we then look at the leadership, because everything in a practice comes from the top. And that's really true for any business, really. And then we start to look at the important KPIs in the practice. So as much as practice owners often hate to hear it, if you can't measure key business activities, you're really not going to be able to improve them. Then we decide on which systems need to be developed that will see these KPIs improve. And then finally, we look at focused marketing, which I mentioned before. So I do find that many health practice owners want to jump straight into marketing, which is in most cases a mistake, because it just creates more chaos and more patient leakage. So yeah, whilst it's a systemized approach, there's often some immediate housekeeping to be done before we jump into the program. And this normally involves picking up some of the low-hanging fruit so that my consulting fees or our consulting fees are covered in the within the first couple of months.
Thanks for joining us, Brad.
Thanks, Jeff. It's been fun.
If you are an allied health practice owner and you liked what you heard from Brad today, feel free to get in touch with him at brad@practicelive.com.au. And to hear more from leaders in the business advice industry, subscribe to The New Advisor or check us out on our website, thenewadvisor.com.au.
The information contained in this podcast is general in nature and does not take into account your personal situation. The content does not constitute legal or financial advice and should not be used as such.